welcome to the Stabcast.
Hello, everybody. Hooty-hoo.
In with a different theme song today.
Yep. So don't get confused. This isn't our one of other
the
podcasts.
Other show.
This is the Stabcast. We just decided to fuck with you guys.
It's April Fool's almost. It's the day after.
Yeah, it's the day after.
So fuck it. We're here to review the movie Haunt. This has been a little gem that you showed me, you put me onto it a couple weeks ago, and I finally watched it.
Yep, it's a 2019 little gem. It was on Hulu, and Hulu kept on taunting me.
Yes.
About it. Like, it kept on, like, suggesting it for me. So finally, at, like, 7 o'clock in the morning, the one day, I was like, you know what, fuck it. And I put it on, and by 9 o'clock... that morning, I was texting this kid to go check this movie out.
I thought it was a series.
I've been watching it. I've been watching these kind of movies since I was little. Before I can even fucking remember, some of the movies that I've seen have been explained to me of me watching them from other people.
Yes.
This movie is one of the second movies to make me scream at the top of my lungs. The only other movie to make me do that is, oddly enough, not a horror movie, guys. It's actually, please don't make fun of me, I was 8 years old at the time, Face Off with John Travolta and Nicholas. Don't know why it fucking scared me so much. Parents didn't even know why it fucking scared me so much. It just did.
Now, this is produced by Eli Roth, and you can tell.
Well, he is one of the producers. I do have this written down real quick.
There's other producers.
It is produced by... the main producer, Todd Gardner. Also, Mark
Fasano.
Vassal and Encore Rungata. And then Eli Roth.
And it's directed by Scott Beck and Brian Woods.
And also written by this pair as well.
Yes, and that's the same duo that wrote The Quiet Place.
Yes.
And that's kind of how they got the cash to do this thing and direct it.
Yeah, and you can also kind of see the themes of it. I'm not going to go into it just yet, but you kind of can see the themes of Quiet Place. Like,
a little bit.
Implanted, that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's creative. Like, you can tell they're a creative duo, especially because The Quiet Place is a different creative twist on the apocalyptic genre that hasn't really been done before.
Right.
It kind of changed movies a little bit. I've never been in a movie so discouraged to eat popcorn in my life.
Right.
Because it's so damn quiet, I don't want to piss the people off next to me. And, you know, that usually doesn't happen. So they brought that to the game. But this is also a twist. I know a lot of people have compared this to Hellfest. And you compared it to Hellfest, too, a little bit. You were talking
at the beginning, I said this was what I wanted Hellfest to be.
I think there's big differences. And going back and watching Hellfest again, I do have a little more love to that movie.
I do as well. I told you this. Now that I own the movie and I've seen it a couple of times, I actually do have a new love for that movie.
Yeah.
But I see it more as when we were talking about this earlier this week too, when we were going over our notes and whatnot.
Yeah.
We were talking about how Hellfest is more like if you went to Darien Lake.
Or Six Flags.
Six Flags.
Buffalo Brain. Six Flags. Great Adventure, that shit.
Yes. Haunt is a little more back alley haunted house,
exactly.
Like local, like, yeah, something like that.
It's
like a haunted hayride, like, yeah, something like that type of deal.
Yeah.
I agree. I would even say that Hellfest is a little more like ravey. Like, it's a little more like a party, like we're going like a fucking, like, even like when,
it's a party for adults.
Yeah, when Six Flags does their, like, horror fest type deal.
Yeah, they do have those type of events.
Yeah, I was there, and they did a Hellfest, you know, maze, and it was pretty cool. They didn't do a haunt one. A haunt one would have been scarier. But this movie, I think, because the one difference that I will say about them, that tone is completely different to where this is more intense, more like, you know, deep, more like it's just like sinister.
And also really plays on your fears, especially with the atmosphere being so claustrophobic.
Yeah, the other one's more traditional slasher and like yay, happy party vibes, you know?
Yeah.
This one's a little more like, oh shit, we're all doomed. We're fucked. We're not going to make it out.
But they don't know that at first.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, you kind of get that as the audience,
Yeah.
As you're watching it, you're kind of like, this isn't a really good idea, guys.
Like, I was surprised there was, and spoiler alert already, but I was surprised that there were survivors out of this thing.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like one of those movies where they might just kill everybody off. And I think that this thing does something different than a lot of movies do, is to where it takes like a basic kind of concept to where, oh, it's a haunted house, but it's real. And they're really killing people. And it kind of just, it focuses more. Like, I just love the way it's shot. And it's like, you can tell that it was the writer's vision that they directed. You can tell that there wasn't a swap there. Somebody else didn't write it that directed it.
Yeah.
You can tell it was one vision because the way it's shot, it's like that they're really focused on the smallest of looks and the way that they act towards certain things. And that's how they get the scares. And then there'll be a jump out of nowhere. Or like, you'll see one of the guys that's working their face and you're like, holy fuck. Like, there's different types of horror throughout the movie.
And I also like the way that it opened, because we start off at campus housing in Carbondale, Illinois, but the way that it is filmed is very much like at a Halloween.
Yes.
Honestly.
Do you
it's
have the
very
cast?
Very much like Haddonfield, Illinois. I have the names of the cast, but I don't have the actors.
Okay. The actors are Katie Stevens as Harper.
Yeah.
Will Britton's Nathan, Lauren McClain is Bailey, Andrew Lewis Caldwell is Evan, and Shotzi Raja is Angela, Schulter Halford is Mallory, and then you got the bad guys. You know, Chaney Morrow is the ghost, Justin Markson is the clown, Damian Maffei is the devil, and then the abusive boyfriend Samuel Hunt. Oh, Sam plays Sam.
Sam plays Sam.
Yeah, what do you think of that inclusion of it? And that is kind of at the beginning there, too, where it starts.
Yeah, so basically, you see this young woman. She's inside, she's covering up makeup and whatnot, and then it turns to this door where this jack-o'-lantern gets, like, slammed on it, and you see this red truck pull away, and you see this angry black girl open the door and be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And, like, she goes up to the young lady that's in the room. We quickly find out that this is our two girls, Bailey and...
Harper. The roommates and homies.
And Harper is covering up her shit, and she's like, look, Bailey's like, look, I've seen the bruises and everything. That motherfucker just threw a pumpkin at her house. Give me your fucking phone because you're breaking up with him tonight.
Yes.
And she's like, no, I can't do that. Don't do that. Give me my phone back.
Yes.
Well, push comes to shove. Friends come over to go to a party, and she actually ends up going with them. Before she leaves, she actually does end up sending Sam a message that just cleared out and said, I'm done. Well, she goes to a party. They're having a really good fucking time. That's where we meet the other characters, Nate, which Nate wasn't really supposed to fucking be there or be in their group.
Yeah.
He just kind of waved for another drink, and because of how awkward little Miss Harper is, she thought he was motioning towards her. Poor thing. I felt so bad for her because I felt that so bad. I've been in that situation before where you see a cute boy waving you think that they're waving at you. Hey, what are you doing over here? I thought you waved me over. Thanks. Poor thing. But then you're introduced to Evan, who by far, I've been told in a few different reviews for this movie that he is the worst actor in this movie. I would have to disagree.
Evan?
Yes. I would have to say that Evan is probably a standout for me.
I was going
to
say,
I
they
like
can
Evan more
fuck
than
those
I
people.
Like Mallory.
Yeah, I was going to say
a
that.
A lot of people say that he did the worst. I would put him above Mallory and even above Angela.
Yeah, and listen, and I like the actor Andrew Caldwell. I've seen him. I mean, the movie College is like something I grew up with. Like, I love that fucking movie. And I've also hit the dude up and gave him a compliment about this movie too. And because this movie was a really good movie. And I thought his performance, I thought he was sort of relatable, especially in like stuff like spoilers towards the end. But like when the killer's like saying something to him and he's like, I just want to go home. Like, that was, like, my favorite line in the movie. I thought he fucking nailed it. I thought he was, like, the perfect chubby friend. Like, that's how I would be in this situation.
He showed up, and they're like, what are you supposed to be? And he's like, I am the front end of a human centipede.
Yeah, he's kind of a dick. Like, yeah.
Fucking dropped down.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, do you think he doesn't want to eat ass all night?
Yeah. He kind of works. Like,
he
I don't know. I thought it worked.
Like, lovable asshole.
Yeah, he's kind of a doofus.
Yeah, and he's, like, kind of a douche, but he's also, like, kind of trying to help and get everybody out. So it's, like, you're on his side. You don't want to see him go. And then, like, when he does, it's very brutal. It seems like it's going to be off-screen, so you're like, oh, that's kind of lame. But then something happens on-screen, you're like, holy
fucking
shit.
Holy shit.
They did show a lot here. You know, that's definitely not disappointing in the gore department. And I thought his character really worked. As, like, first, like, not a side character, but, like, a different member of the group that you know is not going to make it. Like, I thought he played...
He was kind of like the loner member of the group.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, he's the one buddy. Like, he's just, like, hanging out. He's with them, and he's cracking a couple jokes, making fun of a few of them, and it's fun. And then, you know, at a certain point...
I was pleasantly surprised he didn't go away right in the beginning.
No, he lasted a long time, and he was, like, the first one to get out of the maze and stuff. And Mitch, oh, my God, Mitch.
All right, we're jumping ahead.
All right, go ahead.
Because we got to get to Creepy Clown Guy first. So they get to this fucking haunted house. After drinking fucking spiders, mind you. They drink fucking tequila with spiders in it. Then they go to fucking find the haunted house. And they find this place that just lights up with haunted house. And it's like...
Yeah, it's like just as they're driving, about to drive past it, it lights up. It's
And what's really a cool little Easter egg towards the beginning of the movie is that if you look at the sign, haunted and house are not lit up. They're shown, but they're not lit up. Haunt is lit up and light. So they go down that road and whatnot, and they pull up, and they see a group of young people getting ready to enter in the house and everything, or enter in the garage and whatnot. And then they pull up, and they sign the waivers and whatnot. They get introduced to this creepy fucking clown dude that makes them put their phones in a lockbox, and then they're in.
Yeah.
And then they see their first little torture show, which is basically this witch who decides to kill people when she wants to. She basically just puts on a little show for you. What these people don't know is the girl that they watch was the girl that just walked in the house right before they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you weren't sure. I mean, when you saw it happening, is it part of a haunted house attraction?
And
that, which is
that.
What they thought.
Yeah, they thought that
because
they didn't put two and two together.
Yeah, no
one knew. I honestly wouldn't have either. I mean, if I didn't watch it a second time, I wouldn't have realized that.
Yeah.
But shit gets very real, very fucking quick. You get three of the kids, one on the safe side. Other three of the kids choose the non-safe side. For some reason, I don't fucking understand, but Nathan chooses the safe side. Why? I don't get that.
Yeah, Nathan's our good guy. Like,
I don't get why he chose.
Kind of vanilla, just like...
The safe side.
Yeah.
But whatever. And Harper's just like, safe, not safe. Fuck it. And just walks to the safe side. Poor Harper. She's like, I've been through so much shit. It is what is. And... Immediately, they're confronted by spiders, and Mallory says something about being afraid of spiders and shit. You do not bring up your real phobias in a fucking haunted house. You don't say that shit.
Yeah.
The walls have ears. They're watching you. They're most likely fucking cameras and shit. That's why you have to sign fucking waivers.
Yeah.
You do not say that you're afraid of something when you're walking through something like that. Because they can easily get their hands on something.
That's true.
And scare the living fuck out of you. So that is one thing I don't like about her. She was a little bit of a bitch for me.
I feel you.
I feel like she honestly could have been on the other side. I feel like I could have swapped her out for Bailey.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Who is this? Who could you have swapped out for Bailey?
Mallory, the flapper girl for Bailey.
Yeah.
Oh, the vanilla white chick.
Yeah.
The one that was scared of spiders?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Because you don't say that you're scared of shit when you're walking through shit, Daniel.
Yeah, but she had to be there.
I'm asking for it.
It was kind of cool that she just, like, crawled into the thing and she disappeared. And then that they're just like, oh, shit, like, our friend's missing and we just have to keep going.
And then they come across, which Daniel has already said, Mitch. And Mitch is like, oh, no, your friend's fine, man. She's outside.
Well, this was after the...
Mitch?
Mitch is the guy that's working there.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's Mitch. He's the guy with the white costume.
He's Ghost Guy.
Oh, okay. Ghost Guy. this guy.
He's the ghost.
And he seems like a really nice guy. He's got a nice voice. He seems to be caring. He feels a little bad that Bailey is bleeding.
They did him well. They did him well as like that.
Nathan fucked up.
How?
Nathan was told by Ethan or Evan to go in the tunnel with the ghost motherfucker with the poker.
Yeah, he waited.
Nathan did not. He waited until Mitch got to the other side and gave Mitch just enough time to seal up the fucking entrance. Which, Evan...
Yeah, that was a stupid plan.
So why do you fucking listen to Evan?
That's what I'm saying. And then it's like, you knew he was going to turn up, but he did do good at, like, looking kind of, like, panicked and, like... I kind of knew when they were like, dude, take off your mask, and he wasn't going to look. It's like, all right, something's fucked up under there.
Like, I can't show you my face yet. It's like,
yeah.
What, yet?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it's like, now it's like, all right, something's going to happen. But, and I even like that monologue when he's like, and Evan, or and when Evan's like, oh, and Nathan, or Nate, you follow him with the poker just in case Mitch, or Bitch forgets which side he's on. He was like, calling him Bitch instead of Mitch. And it's like, it was, because, you know, most people would be confrontational to, like, shit's going down. Like, we just saw you put a poker through our friend's head. Because that's the part we skipped
over.
And
our other friend is fucking bleeding. Like,
yeah.
We want to leave now.
Like, Mallory legit had a poker, whatever it was, put through her fucking head.
Yeah, the witch girl got her.
Yeah. And they watched it happen. And that's the moment where it's like, shit's getting real. Or not even getting. It's real. Like, and they're watching it happen, and that beautiful scene of all of their, like, faces close up, like,
and
oh my God.
And not to mention, to get in that fucking room and whatnot, they had to go through that coffin shit.
Yeah.
They literally climb into a coffin, guys, and shut the door and wait for another fucking door to open. I would not be able to do that.
But that
no fucking way.
But that scene, when they're all in that room, and Mallory gets the poker put through her head, it works for so many reasons, because I feel like, especially us, because we watch so much of this shit, it's easy to get very desensitized by kills and, like, seeing people die. And it's very, it's not, a lot of people don't, like, watch that happen all the time, so they're not as used to it. But when you see, like, these kids in the close-ups, and they're watching the loss of a human life and their friend that they came here, and they're just having fun and hanging out, and now it's real, and their friend is dead. And all of them, like, their faces, Harper, fucking, they're all, like, crying and scared and, like, worried. And it just, that's what shows what the genre is really perfect and meant for. And it shows meaning like that. Like, that's important. That's real. Like, we just lost a member of the group here. This is a big deal. Someone just died. This is, like, and I'm glad that the movie kind of took the time. Because a lot of these things, it's like, oh, my God, Jason just got a machete. Like, Jimmy just got his head chopped off. All right, let's keep running. Like you don't
right.
really have time to react to this shit. You don't, because it'd be whack if there was a funeral after every death in a horror movie. It'd be 10 hours, you know? So, but it's kind of cool that the directors took a moment that it's like, they're watching this. This is the moment where they realize they're fucked. Somebody just died, and now we're all scared. And I think they took enough time to, like, and it, like, it sucked to me as a viewer, and it made it more scary.
Yeah. I would definitely agree. There were a lot of scary parts for me. There were a lot of parts, though, that didn't really hit home to me. I didn't understand the correlation behind her father and the abuse and everything. Like, I get how that relates to her and Sam's relationship.
Yeah.
And whatnot, and I get why they kind of threw him in there so they could find a way to get back. I get it.
I didn't love the domestic abuse stuff.
I didn't love it. I don't think that it completely worked itself into the story. And also, real quick, before Aunt Sharon goes ahead and gaslight me, there is a fan theory that's going around that says that the clown guy was actually Harper's father.
No.
And that's why he showed up at her house. Well, think about it, though. When he put everyone's phone in the microwave, which phone did he leave out? Harper's.
That's true.
Yeah, but when the boyfriend called, he didn't say, Sam, your girlfriend's dead. He said, you're too late.
You're right. Let's share a go. What do you got?
Well, the first thing I was going to say with the domestic abuse, it kind of took me back to what was it, team Split, with the girl that gets, the final girl, was she survived because of the domestic abuse background. Do you think it was kind of a piggyback on that? She had the domestic abuse background, so she kind of knew what had to be done to survive, like you hide under the bed.
I guess
so. But why was the bedroom
with the dad,
much,
it made sense.
Yeah, but with the bedroom, why was it so much like her childhood bedroom? How could they have known that?
Well, they threw different nods at that, too, because you got to remember with Mitch and Evan, when Evan said, I just want to go home, Mitch said his address, too.
Yeah.
So they do know everything about these people once
they
got the phone.
Well, yeah, because they
got on, yeah.
And so, that's when Harper knew that the guy was going to go to her house, because he knew her house.
Yeah.
Right, but she also had to, it clicked for her when she was being discharged from the hospital that somebody was going to look at the paperwork for her getting out of the hospital.
Yeah. And that's when she realized that that's why she got the jump on the clown and fucked his day up.
Yeah, but I can understand why there are fan theories out there.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not pooping on
why
it.
Why he would be her
I can
father
see it.
Or wife.
Yeah, that makes, I can see that.
Yeah, no, I'm not against
that. I mean,
that.
Do I think it? No, I don't think that at all. I don't think they were running that deep.
I just don't think, and to answer you, Sharon, I don't, to me, and I see that, but in Split, it felt more like a full thought. And to me, that's why it worked a little more.
Right. Okay.
To me, to hear, except for like Sam coming in at the end and then dying, it didn't really feel like a complete thought, the whole domestic abuse thing.
Yeah,
it didn't feel fully realized in the movie for me.
Right.
It just felt like an extra, oh, this is something she goes through. So she's kind of a tortured soul. It didn't feel like a real, like, it felt a part of her character, but it didn't feel like fully realized by the end of it, at least for me.
I mean, and I appreciate the visuals and whatnot when she was hiding under the bed and they went from like her childhood home to like what she was really going through.
Yes.
I liked it. It was a cool visual. And
yes,
everything.
That was cool. And it did work when the devil had her for a second after he, not Mallory, after he kills Angela with the pitchfork, which, by the way, Mallory and Angela, poor girls, like, all these things going through people's skulls, cool as fuck, but gosh, that's a brutal way to die. We got a lot that we could do for a top kill. Because Angela, she's trying to crawl through the vent after, and then, you know, the devil pulls her out, puts the pitchfork through her fucking head, and then fucking...
Yeah, you can definitely tell Eli Roth is behind this, because there are a lot of fucking torture.
And the domestic abuse angle did work in that small moment when she said, don't do this, Sam, or whatever she said. She said something, she said Sam.
Yeah, because she thought it was her boyfriend.
Yeah, because she thought it was him. It did work in that moment, and then when he pulled the mask off, it's this grotesque, like, tattoo.
And he's like,
fucking,
you Sam! And he's like, oh, no,
it's like,
she's fucked.
That, it did work there. That was the one moment where it's like, all right, this does kind of work. But besides that, I didn't really need it. But I did like that. And the fact that they were all ugly fucking, like... And the clown's just as fucking... And one of them's buddies with the directors. I remember
the
seeing
clown.
Them. Yeah. And shout out to the other YouTubers and stuff that have covered this, too. This definitely... I like that they pulled off the mat. Like, because the thing with Mitch, with Evan, that was eerie. The, do you want to see my face? Like, it was so creepy. He's like, I know you wanted to see my face. And he's like, no, dude, it's cool.
I just want to go home.
Like, it's like, I'm all right. Yeah, I just want to go home, man.
And this is the one part of the movie that actually made me scream. I got to say, this is my favorite kill. I'm just going to go ahead and throw it
Evan?
Out there. Yes.
Okay.
I'm not good with prolonged torture.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's off the screen, then I just have to hear it. And I see what I like see in the beginning, like what's going on and what's being used and whatnot. I can handle that.
Yeah.
Daniel, he knows that I can't do torture on screen.
Yes.
I've never been able to.
That's
Eli
why
Roth,
you're not a hostile saw lady.
Exactly.
That's
Eli
why
Roth
bad.
Is one guy that just fucking will make my blood run cold.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Daniel, if I knew that he was behind this movie in any sort of way, I don't think I would have watched it.
No.
Well, he got me. And I'm pretty sure this kill is something he had to have come up with. Because Evan gets fucking, like...
He's killed off screen.
Yes.
He's killed off screen. You think everything's fine, whatnot.
Yeah, you see the crowbar
and
coming
then,
out. You're like, this is kind of lame.
And then Mitch is like, oh, well, let's fucking turn the hammer on him and fucking, like, separate his jaw from his face.
Yeah, he uses
like,
the
oh,
claw, the,
no.
claw the hammer.
Yeah.
And oh, I can't. I screamed. Like, that was the part where I screamed. I lost it. I was like, oh, my God, this is too bad.
I had to look away the first time. I watched it on the second, on the rewatch. I watched it. And it's like, oh, my, it does so good because it's such a good bait and switch. It's like, oh, my God, it's off screen. It's like, wow, he did the kill. And then it's like, oh, shit, no. And it's like, oh, shit. And they really throw the, like, gore in there when you don't think it's going to be in there. And to me, that really works. And it's different. And it's something, it was unique. I liked it. Like, yeah, it was, like, very gory and, like, a really fucked up visual. But it was a cool special effect, especially for not a low – I don't know what the budget was on this.
We don't have a budget. We only know how much it made.
2.5, right?
Which was 2.5 million.
So, I don't know. I don't think it had a big Hollywood budget. Yeah. And to have that kind of, like, a – like, that looked real and it was cringy and it was, like, it was good. It was a good special effect. I liked it a lot. I don't know if it was a practical effect or what it was, but it was really good.
I think it was a mix.
The dude's face really, because like the other ones got
Mitch's face was ridiculous.
The other two looked fucked up, but they looked like they could be like real members of like society. But like Mitch looked like straight off a fucking spaceship, or like straight out of like a cave somewhere.
I don't know. That fucking devil was like a fucked up piece of society.
Yeah, but I feel like you could see him in a tattoo shop somewhere. You know, yeah, like you might see, like Steve, like Steve with the fucking devil horns, our boy, we won't say his last name, but like those are people that get the prosthetic effects and they really look fucked up, and to them they look cool and great, have fun, live your life, but and like the clown, he didn't look that fucked up, he just had all the makeup and shit, but and he just kind of looked like a schlub, but fucking that like Mitch looked like fucking like. A creature, you know, he didn't look like a real person. And
what's so creepy though is the face did not match the voice at all.
No,
he sounded like he fucking worked at Best Buy.
Yeah,
like he worked at IKEA. Like he didn't seem like a.
Yeah, hey, how can I help you today?
Yeah,
rip off your face.
Yeah, it's like it's a real work in progress. Oh my God, like, and that worked. That part still worked for me. I did like that part. I did not like it. It was good. But,
what was your favorite kill?
My favorite kill? Because I like the pitchfork death and I like the poker death, and I think that those both worked. I will say, I'll give it because of the emotional factor, I'm going to have to do it when Harper takes Bailey out.
Oh,
the
pitchfork to Bailey.
They get her with they have her tied up in one of the costumes.
They have
so,
Bailey tied up in one
Bailey,
of the costumes with a mask on.
With a mask on. And Harper,
over her mouth.
Harper thinks she's an enemy, so she gets her with the rake, or the same rake or pitchfork or whatever went through Angela's head goes through Bailey's stomach. And then she takes the mask off and you see it's her, and then she's telling her to run. And it's a very emotional moment. And it's a good, like this movie had good emotional beats, and this was one of them. And it's a different type of kill that kind of, like, gets at your heart a little bit. Because it's like you thought she might get out with her. Because in Hellfest, if we're trained, the two friends get out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you think that she might get out with her. She doesn't. The boyfriend ends up, which is kind of he comes out of nowhere and then fucks the one dude up. Mitch only really gets, like, a huge strike to the back of the head. So Mitch is probably still out there fucking vibing somewhere, smoking a joint. Who knows? Mitch is fucking out here. The other guys we know are dead. They burned, like, the clown got fucked up at the very end. And the devil's definitely gone. The devil got shot in the head, something put through his fucking eye. That was bad.
What did you think about the whole Pop Goes the Weasel bullshit?
With the gun? I thought it was cool.
I thought that was a little prolonged, honestly. I don't think I would stand in front of a door for that fucking long waiting for it to play all that music and the gears and shit to shit.
The devil should have known when he was choking her, like, she's going to try to gouge my eyes. She's going to try to hit my nuts. No matter what.
I'm not even going that far, though. I'm saying, like, before. When she
before the door even opened and she got the key in.
And she's just standing there. It's Come on. You got to fucking know something's coming.
And she did. That's why she walked to the side.
That's why she was standing up.
That's why
you
saw her. She kind of like takes a couple steps.
I know. I get that. I think it happened a little bit too long.
It was too slow for the
song. It was kind of a slow shot, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it, like, it followed the pace of the song, which Pop Goes the Weasel is a slow, methodical song. But the devil should have known. Like, he's choking her. He's trying to kill her. And he knows this gun's going to go off after. Like, you made the thing. You're a part of the haunted house. She's going to try to fuck you up to get you to lead up. Stay down no matter what. Like, even if she gouges, deal with the pain. Just stay down. Because if you go up, you're getting shot in the fucking head. And he just couldn't understand that. And so she fucked him up. He fucking raised his head up, and boom, Pop Goes the Fucking Weasel. See you later, buddy. And that's what took him out. The other one, it was Batters Up to the one monster that came after...
the zombie.
The zombie, yeah. That came after, what's his name? Nathan. And Nathan fucked him up. You batter up. There you go, Sammy Sosa. That was a good end to him. I thought the right two, you know, made it to the end. I mean, Nathan could have died. It really didn't matter to me.
I didn't appreciate the fake-out ending. No, I'm so fucking sick of seeing that in horror.
Yeah.
The whole waking up in a hospital, I'm like, oh, it's just a dream. It's not a fucking dream.
But it was real, and the clown came to kill her, so. You know?
Yeah, I didn't think when she woke up in the hospital, she thought it was a dream.
Yeah, the one part, though, was when she went home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of felt like that a little bit. But I thought the whole movie worked. I loved the tone. It was one of those movies, and you said it too, it's genuinely scary, and I haven't felt like this from horror in a while, to where I'm sitting, and by the way, I'm a grown 25-year-old man, and I feel like I can take care of myself in an altercation, but I was on the couch with a blanket over my face, and I looked over, and Sharon's doing the same thing, and both of our eyes, like, we have real terror in our eyes, and we're looking, and we're like, ah, ah, and it's like, I never do that. I don't give a shit. Like, I'll jump a little bit, but I don't, like, get scared. And I was like...
I mean, and I'm 33 at this point. I've been watching horror for about 7 years longer than Daniel. And this movie legit scared the fucking bejeebers out of
me. Yeah. Like, I'm one of those guys. I ain't scared of shit. But this was, like, kind of... This was very creepy, and it was scary. And I was, like, I was in. And it's, like, it really had me. On the rewatch, I was a little more, like, I felt like I had known what was in the sausage at that point.
Yeah.
But when I didn't, and I was went into it fresh, it was, like, everything. It was, like, it really had me on my toes. It was the best scary movie I've seen in a while, and I'm giving it a 9 out of 10.
I'll give it a 9.
Because I thought it did things that horror hasn't been able to do in a while for me.
And honestly, right. From coming out of 2019,
yeah,
it's the only one that I can really say, other than the Child's Play remake, that I really enjoy.
Because to take something that's so familiar, which is a group of kids doing something, and shit goes wrong.
Like, how many times do we see a group of friends getting together and shit going wrong?
Yeah. But to take that and still kind of have fresh takes and still have cool stuff going on, and the atmosphere is so creepy that it doesn't matter if
and
it feels familiar.
And the acting was really good.
Great acting all around, from the whole cast, the killers, to the people being killed. Everything was done well. Like I said, the domestic abuse thing was the only thing that seemed a little off, but I still didn't hate it. And I'm like, the Sam
it,
came
but
in
I
and got
like
fucked
the
up quick,
that
too.
For a second, I was cheering for her abuser.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. I mean, I like the fact that he died right away, but...
I didn't really, like, because I knew he wasn't going to rescue her. I was cheering for him to die pretty
much. Yeah, but wouldn't that have been a twist that you don't see very often, where the abuser becomes the rescuer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but because that's a terrible message
to
put out there.
That's what I thought they were doing. No, do not do
that. I'm with you in a way that's different, but I don't think that needs to be done or said.
No. Okay.
And
that's something that just needs to be untouched.
Yeah, and I think people would flip out if it went, like, why do you need to put that message out there? Why does the abuser need to save
the
day?
The abuser the hero.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like how I've been in, like, the newest Scream movies, where Billy Loomis is kind of the hero. Like, no.
Yes.
He raped and killed Sidney Prescott's fucking mother and left her in a fucking town plaza. Got it.
And I love doing shit differently just as much as the next guy, and I love finding originality and stuff, but I think that's one area that they can leave it alone. That doesn't need to be
done. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like, I understand seeing, like, people that, like, are out for revenge and whatnot.
You can have your anti-heroes, because there are people that are bad people in fiction, but then you end up rooting for them at the end. But Sam needed to be developed a little more before that happened.
Yeah.
Because all we've seen of this guy literally is him smacking her in the flashbacks and
shit.
And
throwing a pumpkin.
And then we see him in the car and him texting her crazy stuff. But everything else about the movie I thought was amazing. And I really enjoyed the flick. Like I said, 9 out of 10. Do you have an idea what you want to do next week?
I do and I don't.
If you can find The Descent anywhere, I kind of want to watch that.
The Descent's on Tubi.
Okay.
Part 1 and 2.
Oh. Ew.
And Jared's like, no.
Well, we can watch anything. I don't care.
No, The Descent's fine. I'll watch it.
We'll watch it. All right,
fine. We'll do The Descent.
We'll do The Descent.
You want to do both sides?
Or Megan. You want to talk about Megan finally? That's out.
I mean, I haven't watched it, but I can watch it.
Yeah, I already saw it.
I can't believe you saw it before I did.
I know.
I saw it too.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised by that
change. It was good, though.
Just because it's a tamer horror movie. I'm not surprised.
Yeah, but I sit here and watch whatever Daniel's watching.
Yeah, sure. She can deal with the fucked up shit. But it was good. I'm excited to rewatch it and talk about it. Do you have anything else?
The movie that I could not remember from last week, guys, the one that's going to be in theaters at the end of this month, is Evil Dead Rises.
Really?
I apologize. I forgot.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that have Bruce Campbell in it?
And he is like part of the directing team,
okay,
along with Sam Raimi, but he will not be in
the movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
After Ash versus the Evil Dead, the TV show and whatnot, what kind of went belly up, he decided to not be Ash anymore.
Oh,
I love that actor.
He's the man. He's the fucking man. I liked him in Burn Notice.
I liked him in the first time I saw him. Something about the tales of something Crisco Jr.
I have no idea.
Oh, it was a TV show. It was just good. It had to do with like time traveling cowboys.
Oh yeah, he's the man. But,
I'll tell you what it is in a minute.
Okay.
Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell's a legend. But we are probably going to get out of here soon. We'll get the name of that out. but Haunt was a great movie.
Yeah, Haunt was a very good movie. So next week we will do The Descent.
Yes. And that'll be fun, seeing people in caves.
The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
There you go. And with that, everybody have a great night.
For you.
Take a little walk to the edge of town and go across the track, where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks, where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wise, hey man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, past the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall handsome